So before I open scripture this morning, I'd like to ask you to do something for me. And I'm going to actually ask you to do two somethings for me today. The first something I would like you to do is, and you don't have to do it. I'm always a challenge by choice kind of gal. But I'd like you to clench your fists. And I'd like you to keep them clenched until I tell you to let go. And I realize that for some of us, this is going to be very challenging. But especially some of our little ones who don't deal with knuckles that get caught and don't want to do their work anymore or whatever, I want you to show us older folks that you can clench your fists, hold them tight until I tell you to change. And here's the thing, I'm going to be checking, so I won't forget. The other thing I'd like to ask you to do is to, as I read this parable, to imagine the group around you back when Jesus told this story. So often, we imagine the people in the parable to look like us or look at the world the way we look at the world. But quite honestly, when Jesus was sharing these parables, a lot of the folks would have been leaning in much more carefully to wonder what it is he was trying to tell them. Is this story for us, or is it just for that person who just inherited a ton of money? Is this story for everyone or just a few of us? They would have imagined people looking like them in the story. Just like we do when we read books, we imagine people who look similar to what we're familiar with. Same clothes and the whole thing. I want you to step out of today and think about what it must have been like to be in that group, listening to Jesus tell the story. How are we doing? You guys are awesome. All right, I am reading from Luke chapter 12, starting at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down the barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I will say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you, and then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to offer to you today that is, if we were listening to this story and we were looking around, we would ask, is this story for this, the brother who's not sharing his inheritance with the younger brother? Is this story particularly for him, or is it for all of us? Because we would have just witnessed some family discord. It might have been a bit uncomfortable. And yet rabbis did a lot of arbitration as part of their work in the community, to help people, the community, live better with each other. And so here's this older brother, and he's gotten his inheritance, and that was the way it was. If you were lucky enough to have been born the first one, you would inherit it all. Now, we would have been leaning in to say, is this guy going to be a gracious guy? Is he going to take what he was blessed with and bless others with it? Or is he going to keep it all to himself? What kind of character does this guy have? And we get a bit of an inkling, don't we, that he might not have the character that we're hoping for. Because the younger brother says, "Tell him to share with me. I want my portion." So there's some problems going on here. And Jesus says, "Well, really, you guys need to figure this out yourself. This is not what I was brought here for." But it reminds me of a story. It reminds me of someone who also had a windfall. And the windfall was in this amazing grain cache that he has to figure out what to do with. Now, some things we would be wondering about as we listen to that story isn't what we heard. We could have pictured probably the wealthiest man in our village, someone who had done well as a farmer. But we would have noticed as we were listening to the story, what is missing? What is missing in this story? Well, the first thing that's missing in this story is he doesn't say thank you to God for this incredible crop that he brought in. And if you were part of the Jewish community, thank offerings and being grateful to God, realizing that all good gifts come from God, would have been a part of the way that we just looked at life. And so you'd have leaned in a little bit further. This guy hasn't said thank you. And the next thing you would have noticed is that part of the story is also he doesn't say, how much am I going to give back to God? What am I going to do with this incredible blessing to give back to the community and to, in a very tangible way, share this windfall with others? So he just said, something's amiss here. He doesn't understand how we do things in our community. And then you would have noticed a very particular word that Jesus uses to describe this rich man. What does he call him? A fool. Now, he's not saying that this man isn't a good businessman, that this man isn't smart or intelligent. Fools in Scripture are those who live as if God doesn't exist, as if God doesn't matter. The Psalms say, the fool says in her heart that God is not there, and I am the one who will decide what I will do with my life, with the things that I have. A fool doesn't understand the cycle of grace, the cycle of blessing. How are you guys doing? It's hard work to live like this, isn't it? To keep our hands closed. And I'm guessing that as you watch me read and talk, I look like I'm going to punch somebody. It is actually kind of an aggressive way to live, to keep our fists tight, hanging on to things. Think about that, because that's the exact opposite picture of what God says in his economy. The cycle of grace. God is grace. That is one of the ways we experience him all the time. And so there's grace raining down, grace received, and when we receive it, our job is to share that grace. And at the end of that cycle, what do we say? Thank you. Thank you. In other languages, it might be grazie, grace. Gracias, grace. Thank you. That's the cycle of grace. And it's the same with blessing. God rains down blessings on us. We receive it. And our job is to steward that blessing, to take all the goodness, the grace, the wonderful ways that God touches our lives, and to steward it and share it with those around us. We are saved to serve. We live into gratitude for the greatest gift, the greatest grace that we've received through Jesus Christ. Amen? And so when this comes down, we steward it. And at the end, what do we say? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's the cycle of blessing. And what's happening in this story? The rich fool lives as if there is no God, and he hangs on to everything that God has given him. And what we always would have noticed too, we would have said to each other, this guy's already wealthy. What does he need another windfall for? He's got more than enough to share. God has been so lavish with him, and he's been such a good business person and a good farmer in stewarding that, he's got more to share. But what does he do? He hangs on to the blessings. Now, I want you to do something for me. Open your fists. That also takes work too, doesn't it? Especially if you're of a certain age. I'm going to need like a little heat pad here a minute. You know, living, hanging on to things, is not what we've been called to do. We've been called in the cycle of grace, the cycle of blessing, to receive, to share, and then to say thank you. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All the good things that come to this world, whether we know God or do not know God, whether we acknowledge it or not, God is raining down blessing and grace all the time. And those of us who are able to recognize it, those of us who are Christ followers, those of us who understand that we're participating in something are given, really, it's not a burden, it's a joy to be able to say, let me share this with you. Let me help you. Let me be a part of sharing the goodness that God has given to me, because in the end, it's my act of worship, and He will be thanked. He will be recognized. Grace will be returned. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What's interesting to me in this parable is what started out as a blessing became a curse very quickly. Oh no, I have all this stuff. I got to build a new barn. Oh no, it became a worry for him. He had very little in this story, very little time to say, wow, God is so good. I'm going to give more to the gleaners. I'm going to give more to the temple. There is so much that I can share with the world. But what does he do? Whoop! He tries to hang on to it. And then God says, you're so foolish. You live as if I'm not a part of this story, your story, all of these gifts. And here's the clincher. Think about it. And we would have really leaned in if we were listening to this parable. I'm going to take your life from you because I am the giver of life, and I'm going to give what I have given as a gift to somebody else to see what they will do with the blessing, how they will steward it. Now imagine if you are the older brother listening to this story, how this might pierce your heart to say, I've just been given an amazing blessing. It was a blessing to be born the oldest. Yeah, there's some responsibility there, but it was a blessing. And now I get invited in to be able to take this and bless others, to bless my siblings, to make sure that they are well cared for too. We don't know how the older brother receives this story. The question is how are we receiving this story? We live in incredible blessing. We live in, I think I've heard, one of the happiest countries in the world, one of the safest countries in the world, one of the best ways of life and kind of security in the world. We are very blessed. Amen? So what are we doing with that? Do we do this? Or do we realize we're a part of a cycle of blessing, and it's our opportunity to share it with others? I've been thinking a lot about the word blessing lately because it's been kind of co-opted by culture, don't you think? Some of you may not be on Facebook. I probably shouldn't be. But that's a story for a different time. But one of the things I've often noticed on Facebook is a way to brag is to use the word blessed. I am blessed. And it's really a way to say, look what I have, and perhaps to point out what you don't. Right? Hashtag blessed. I have a really good life. We went to Hawaii. Hashtag blessed. And I think because the word blessing has been co-opted by our culture, what has happened is it's also been used as a way to kind of justify our wealth, justify our position, and maybe even point out that somehow God has favored us in a much better way than others. That is a part of the theology that's around us in certain pockets. That somehow if you're blessed, God favors you. If you have more, God loves you more. And we know that is not the case. But the world, I think lately, is trying to say, if you're not making it in this life, if you have a hard time holding out down a job, if you have a hard time managing your money, God's not favoring you. And that is not correct. I know, okay, I'm just going to tell you, I'm from Denver. I'm a dual citizen. Don't hold it against me. But one of the things that I see in the States right now is a real blaming the victim approach, We're going to take away any of our aid. We're not going to, as a government, support people who need extra help. Why? And it comes out of this misunderstanding that if you have, then God loves you. If you don't have, then you need to work on sin in your life. People of God, that is not how grace works. That is not how blessing works. God can't help himself but be lavish. He's overflowing with goodness. The rain falls on both the ones who know him and don't know him, the ones who are the good and the ones we might call the evil. He can't help but bless the world because he loves it so much. That's the truth. And so when we have more, it isn't that somehow I can go, hashtag blessed. What I need to say is, oh God, help me to steward this well. Thank you for the privilege and the honor and the responsibility of taking all the good that you've given me and share it well with those who may not have experienced some of this, who need some extra to help them know that you're here and that you love them. But in the end, I don't want the honor and glory. I want you to be blessed. I want this to be my act of worship as I steward all the good things in my life. Now, I don't know about you, but again, if it isn't about hashtag blessed and look what God's doing for me, I also think sometimes we use blessing as a way to kind of give us a bye when we're not talking kindly about other people. Now, again, I'm from the States, but if you're in the South and you want to gossip about somebody or you want to kind of criticize somebody, what do you say? Bless her heart. Oh, she doesn't know any better, but let me tell you. Blessing can never be weaponized. And that's kind of what I've seen happen in the culture around us. I'm either better than you because I have more than you. I'm either more loved by God because I have more stuff. And I think what God is trying to tell us here, that when we try to manipulate in his economy, when we hang on to things, that blessing will turn into a curse. It'll be something that we said, if I don't have all the stuff I have right now, I don't know how I'm going to be able to go on. How am I going to be able to live without my things? And if things go badly, how, if my theology says, I get stuff because God loves me more, you don't get stuff because you have some sin in your life. If my grace theology is so messed up, what do I do when things don't go well? Has God abandoned me? Am I not loved anymore? Is God cruel? Is he fickle? That's all foolish thinking, according to Jesus' parable. In the cycle of grace, in the cycle of blessing, God is lavishly blessing all the time because he loved this world and all in it so much. And when we receive it, and then when we can recognize that it comes from him and share it with everyone around us, and then bless the Lord, say thank you. We're a part of his economy, and we're pushing back against an economy that is so graceless. It is so much easier to serve and live this way, isn't it? This is so much more open than me up here doing this. If somebody's online looking at this, it looks like I'm railing against the world because my fists are up. We serve with open hands. We image God and his love with open hands. People of God, may that be what we are all called into. We may be known as a community as one who stewards blessings well. And it would be so sad if we weren't here in this place as this body of Christ followers. The neighborhood say we would never be the same without each one of you worshiping and blessing the community around you. May that be the testimony around us. Will you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for all the blessings in our lives. for reminding us that when we are rich towards you, we will find out more and more all the ways that you lavish your goodness on us. May we be faithful stewards, not for our sakes, but for the sake of your name and your kingdom. Amen.